It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
So Tom, I guess everybody had a good week off?
I think, undoubtedly, but this darn rain's trying to make a duck out of us, man. It's catching hell in the afternoon.
It's been pouring, I tell you.
My poor dog is having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, mine were a little upset last night, I know.
Yeah,
I mean, it got a little nasty out by us, for sure. But it was bad. I'm surprised we really haven't had more lightning strike vehicles or anything. I hadn't seen any in a while at shop. Of course, I probably shouldn't say that because I know I'll have a truckload of them in there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know I just did that to myself, but that's okay.
Oh, well, that's all you got to sell out there is labor.
Yeah, this is true. It's all about time.
Yep, it's labor and time, sell. Baby. Yeah.
That's all you got to sell is time. So, you know, it's all good.
Well, look, how is the number of vehicles, trucks and stuff that y'all getting in? Are you starting to get some of them in?
The trucks are still a little scarce. We're getting some in, but they're going pretty quick when they get there.
Do we have a lot of guys that have pre-ordered?
There's a few, but you know, the problem with that is the orders, we're still ways out on them.
Because, oh, really?
You know, the ones that we're getting in now were vehicles that were already ordered or not necessarily for somebody, but vehicles that we had ordered before all this started and were in the process of being built. Okay, so now those are built and coming to us, as well as, you know, we were allotted so many during this whole time period. So we we basically, you know, built those as to what we wanted, and you know, those are coming in.
Right.
So, you know, if you wanted one or you ordered one during that time period, you know, it may be coming in soon, but we're still a little ways out.
What are we seeing in the size of tires now? Are they putting larger tires on these vehicles and cars more so than we saw? I mean, it seems like everything we're seeing now is 18, 19s, and 20s.
Well, you know, it's all everything's basically a 20 and up. I mean, there's some trucks that still have, you know, 18s on them, but most all our stuff is at least an 18-inch tire, if not a 20 to 22.
But what's the advantage of going to the larger tire rather than the old 15, 16s like we used to have?
Well, one of the big advantages is the ability to put a larger brake on the vehicle. Back when you had a 15-inch wheel, you were limited to the size, diameter of the brake rotor as well as the size of the caliper
right.
And all that.
Okay.
And it was all crammed in one little spot, so you were creating a lot of heat. And not only was that heat on the brake components, that heat was transferred into the tire.
So would you say that is probably one of the biggest events that caused the larger tires to be put on? Is there any other safety factors or anything? Are we using less rubber if we got a 20-inch tire than the old 15, 16s?
The sidewall, the diameter of the tire is generally the same. You know? And one thing that they've learned is that they can make the cars handle and respond a lot quicker by having a shorter sidewall on the tire because you don't get the deflection of the tire. When you turn to go one direction – you know, that tire, you would be surprised, and I know you've seen it
in racing,
you'd be surprised how much deflection there is in that tire when you go to turn and put it in a corner, whereas if you have a shorter sidewall of tire, you don't get anywhere near that much deflection of it.
Well, so, I would think also that when we had the 15, 16-inch tall sidewalls on these tires, that the running characteristics and the handling characteristics of the vehicles they couldn't make it as good with those tires as they can with these because they have more control.
Well, and
a better ride,
like your old Park Avenue,
right?
You know, it was one of the best riding cars around in its day.
Yeah.
Okay, they were smooth, slick. The last year for that car was, I think, 90. No, I'm sorry, it's a little later than that. But anyway, somewhere 2000 something, 2008, I think,
yeah.
Or 7 or 8, 6, 7, 8, somewhere there.
Yeah.
And anyway, the last year for that car, they decided to put 18-inch wheels on it and a shorter profile tire on it. Absolutely ruined the ride of that car.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they went from a 16 to an 18, killed the ride of that car.
I can imagine. Yeah, they didn't change the shocks and springs and all of it.
Didn't change the shocks and springs, the rubber and the bushings. They didn't give it – you got to give it some give somewhere to soften back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they in the older cars, we had solid – had those solid bushings.
Yeah, yeah. They just stuck the tires on there and didn't take into account that it needed some more give somewhere. So it
better idea that didn't work.
Yeah, and you'd be amazed how many people we had at that time period that were just really disappointed with the cars. And these were customers that had Park Avenues that had traded in and got the newer model.
Right.
Because they knew it was the last year of it. And wanted last year, to carry them on as long as they could with that car,
Well, all that being said, let me ask this phase of it. How much more tire patch are we putting on the ground that will maybe help with the brakes and the stopping capacity?
Well, we're putting a lot wider tire on the cars now, too, than we ever did before. They're getting a much bigger contact patch with the ground than what they've ever had.
Well, that should give us more braking.
It gives your handling and braking capabilities a lot more, and it's kind of like I tell people on the racetrack. It's like, you see that big round tire? There's only about a 10-inch square patch hitting the ground at any point.
Right.
At most, okay? Now, you can use that to turn, or you can use it to stop.
Right.
If you use it to do both, it's not going to do either as well.
Right.
So,
that
little contact patch is doing all it can do for one or the other.
So now the tires that we're talking about the race cars. Now the tires that we're still running on the race cars are they 15s, 16s?
Basically, everything we have is a 15-inch tire.
15-inch.
Yeah, 15-inch tire.
All right.
So. They haven't changed us to a bigger tire yet. I'm sure once I get all the wheels that I think I might need, they'll change it then.
So, yeah, just when you got got a full inventory and you have extras, and you're not worried about anything.
Right.
Then none of them will be worth a damn. So that's the way they do that stuff.
Which I've learned that you can't sell a used wheel anyway. You might as well just go ahead and crush it for weight.
Right.
Because you can't give it away. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's afraid of it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know why, but they are. So.
Well, you'd have to magnaflux them or magnaflow them, check for cracks.
Yep.
they have miniature cracks in them. I used to do my wheels that way.
Oh, yeah.
And just so, because I had a shop and I had one of those
had
machines.
Had the ability to do it.
Yeah. I had the ability to do it, so I found two or three wrecks just by doing that.
Right.
It would have been a wreck because it would have sucked the center out of the wheel.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It gets ugly on those when that happens. That's for sure.
All that stuff is compared to that. But I'm glad to know though that this funky looking wheels and tires that we have now actually have a safety factor built into them rather than just looks.
Right, right. And and that's the thing. It's not necessarily all about looks. It's about performance and the driving characteristics of the vehicle.
Okay.
They're putting some thought into it, no doubt. Our 19 and up trucks ride 100% better than the earlier body did. It's quieter, rides better.
It's like riding in a big, a big Lincoln or Cadillac or something.
Right.
In a truck. I mean, why buy one of these little puddle jumpers, I call them, Tinker Toys, when you can get a pickup truck as big.
Get a real truck.
Yeah, get a real truck and get the wheelbase all on there with the tires and the suspension that's under them and get back into your big vehicle.
Yeah. Well, and they found out that the weight of the control arms – makes a huge difference on how much vibration you get and everything else. So, you know, sometimes, you know, they try and lighten up that assembly, but they go too far.
So
they have to back up and make it ride right again. Sounds like it's time for a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss, and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man. When I turned 16, I saved a few hundred bucks. My first car was a pickup truck. I was cruising the town, and the first girl I see was Bobby Joe Gentry, the homecoming.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle. I'm Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But I actually had a text message from one of my ex-employees that he's doing a little side project at home. I want to remind everybody, if you're going to change the starter on a GM motor, use the right bolts. Yeah, I know you've seen this before on the old small block style starter where they'd bolt starter up, didn't use starter bolts, and end up wringing them off or stripping them out.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
Yeah.
And they are a pain to have to drill out.
Well, and the problem is it's really hard to fix them correctly, because if you damage that first quarter inch of that hole, you can't fix that.
No.
Because it's that is there for the knurl that's on that starter bolt to fit up into and give a tight fit to. Yeah.
And, you know, and that makes the alignment perfect for the starter.
Right. Yeah. Right. I had JJ, our driver, he had working on that pure stock that belongs to the McCarrans, and Jerry Goff drives, and very fast car, does very good. It's driving me insane, because every time he went to crank it, it sounded like it's about to rip the flywheel out of just terrible sounding. It's like, did you use starter bolts?
No.
Yeah, I use starter bolts. I said, JJ, did you use starter bolts with the knurl on them? Yeah, man, yeah, I did. Okay. Finally, it wouldn't crank one night down there. They're like, pull the starter off of it. Bring me the starter and the bolts.
Right.
Yeah. And one of them was a starter bolt. One wasn't.
Oh, it was all set then.
Yeah.
It didn't have a perfect alignment of that gear in that flywheel.
And it wasn't lined up. And I ended up having to file the starter down to get it where it was closer to the flywheel and everything. Sounds good now. So I was like, now go find you another starter bolt when you get home. And let's fix it right. You know. Before you had any more trouble.
Oh, but, you know, back in the day, sometimes we had to shim those things when you got wear in them all, you know?
Right. Well, and that's the GM, you know, Chevrolet and all GM cars, you know, you had to shim that starter to make it right, you know? Most of the time, you're good. You could bolt the starter on, not worry about shim, and you're good to go. Every once in a while, you got one that you had to fight with and get it adjusted out. But
how many people are sitting out there saying, I want to call him and ask him this question? Get on the dang phone and call him. Let's find out.
It's easy. 343-0106.
Let's see if the man knows what he's supposed to know.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll try anyway.
There you go.
Try and stump the car doctor. That's
there
always
you go.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make a doctor a nurse. It would demote him.
Exactly. Exactly.
You make him a nurse. Yeah. But, I don't know. So I do. Some nurses know more than the damn doctors do. Yeah,
we have seen quite a bit more traffic coming through here lately. Things are picking back up. People are traveling. They're not staying at home.
Well, so. Unbelievable. Well, they're doing the tires that way too. I was talking with Bart today over at L&M, he says it's got to the point where every morning I get here at 7:30. And he said, "Well, people know where to line up. You know, they got a line that comes off the side street, goes through the parking lot, and lines up in front of the store so that they pull them in. You know, keep them pulling them in one at a time. They can put about five cars up there." But he said, "It's unbelievable." He said, "We had 35% increase in tire sales last month."
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm having trouble getting buying tires, getting inventory now."
Well, and that's been a little bit of an issue as well, but, you know, people are they don't have anything else to do.
Right. Well, yeah. They're checking their cars, they're, whatever.
Yeah. They're going to get out. They're going to travel. They're going to do a few things.
That tells me they're fixing to get on the road.
Right.
You know, they're going, this month, before the kids start back to school, they're going to burn some rubber.
Yeah.
And they're going to burn some fuel. So watch the gas prices go up.
Yeah. You know, it's creeping up, but it hadn't gone up like it normally does.
No, that's true.
For the summer. You know. But, you know, we're really just getting into the.
I think what I pay over at Costco today, $1.75.
Yeah, I paid $1.87 on the way here, but you know, it wasn't at one of the cheapy stations. But
no,
that's okay.
Well, you know, Costco's you know, it's got a good price there, and then I like to buy it at Walmart's as well too. They got pretty good prices, but they burn enough fuel and they pump enough fuel. I would think they would have decent fuel.
Well, and that's the big thing is you know, high volume station, you're going to get a better quality fuel because they're constantly moving that fuel through there. You don't get old fuel out of their pumps because they're constantly moving it through there for sure. The big difference is whether they have the additive packages in there for
and they're not going to. Now, Costco has got a pretty good grade of fuel. They actually advertised it on their pump. But now they don't have the packages in them that you're going to get from Chevron, that you're going to get from Shell,
and BP.
BP, you know, and those main brands we have right here in this area now. But those people are going to have they're going to cost you probably 8 or 10 cents more a gallon. But they have a better viscosity package and additive package in there to help with your ride and to help with a mileage. And I know, I've tried it. You'll get a little bit better mileage out of running that Shell gas.
Well, and one of the key things now is that you know, most all of our vehicles are direct injected.
Right.
So they're really critical about how clean the fuel is and what kind of additives are being used to lubricate the high pressure pump and to keep the injectors flowing properly under the high pressures that they create. I mean, you're talking.
Are you saying that we actually have some kind of lubricant in this gas for those high pressure pumps?
Yeah. It you know, it's definitely got a lubricant in it. You really can't feel it. I mean, it's just.
But it's enough there.
It's something in there. Don't ask me. I'm not a chemist.
Well, it's compatible. It's compatible with the metals that they've got under the stress that they've got under those pumps.
Right.
And that's what counts. You know. But you know, it's not like you could see it burn out the tank or anything. Mm-hmm. But you know, then you say, "Well, why does high pressure pumps need more lubrication?" Well, back in the day, we ran 3, 5, 6, 7 pounds of pressure with a manual pump on our carburetors, and now we're up 100?
Well, 150 at idle, a direct injected 5.3. Is requesting somewhere around 1,800 pounds of pressure.
Shut your mouth.
And, you know,
I hadn't heard those figures.
Yeah. When you, you know.
1,800 pounds.
Yeah. So, and then when you, I mean, they're
that line better not blow off.
They're very comparable.
That thing will knock the hood off.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons that if you replace an injector or a high pressure pump or anything like that, these are a ball and socket type line, you have to replace that line. Once you crack it loose, you put a new line on it.
Really?
You know, because, you know, fuel spraying out under 2,000 PSI in a mist, what do you think that's going to do?
2,000 PSI. It's going to cut like concrete. I mean,
it's going to light. You know, you're going to start a fire, I promise you. So,
how about the type of lines that we're utilizing there and the fittings that secure them?
Yeah. And that's the thing is it's all like a ball. Instead of having like a double flare, like you're used to seeing on like an old power steering line or something like that, or a brake line,
something you could make.
This is actually a round ball that goes down into a round
seat,
socket seat, whatever you want to call it, and then it gets tightened down under a pretty good bit of pressure.
So it's got a heavy collar or something that goes around it?
It's tightened down on a nut. I mean, it's a spin-on nut that pulls down and you torque it down.
Oh, look at torque it down.
Yeah, torque it down. You don't just snug it
that
up.
That means it's critical, though.
Okay. You make sure you get the right torque on it.
Oh, my Lord. Okay.
And unfortunately,
I haven't heard those figures, though. I can remember back, I guess it was when we would close the shop, that we were looking at fuel pressures, you know, around 80 to 150, 120 pounds, on, mm-hmm. you know, somewhere in that area on different vehicles.
Right. Yeah, but, you can still find a few, but if it's direct injected, it's more along the lines of what a diesel uses.
Where's this pump located?
It's in the, like, on the V8 motors, it's in where the lifter valley would be between the heads towards
okay.
the back.
Okay.
Runs directly off the camshaft. So
off the camshaft.
Right. Right. So it's got a roller follower that rides on the camshaft, and it's actuating the pump.
Well, it's like, yeah. back in the day, we had a shaft that ran off of a lobe on the camshaft right. and ran the manual pumps.
Like, right, you know? Right. Same basic
setup. But now they got
yeah.
a roller. You know,
they're yeah,
sophisticated
they're running off a
roller with a roller.
Because of the pressures it's taking to make them
that's
work.
That's like a regular flat tapping lifter and a roller lifter.
Exactly. You know, and this, they hold up pretty well. We still have some problems occasionally with the pumps. What you'll find generally is one of two types of failure. Either it's not making pressure or the motor will be running extremely rich and you don't know why. You can't figure it out. And you look at it and either the oil level is going to be a little high or it's just going to have a little smell to it. And what it's doing is the crankcase ventilation is pulling that fumes out of the crankcase and burning them and making it way rich because the pump is leaked into the motor. So,
okay.
But
do we have a reasonable price on of a pump? What's the pump run, this ballpark?
The pump's, you know, $300-$400. Okay. I mean, they're not that terrible. It's just getting to them is the big thing. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're running in that valley,
yeah,
then you have to take the front part of the engine off too.
The intake and all has to come off. Yeah, so it's a little labor intensive to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But, looks like it's time for us to take a break, and we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Since the day they was born, straightening the curves, yeah, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and
welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
Hello?
Looks like we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Hey, I'm looking for Tom. It's Nick.
Hey, Nick. What's going on, buddy?
Go ahead,
you on there
guy.
With us?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, man, you got any frying going on at Ed's? You know, if it ain't fried, it ain't cooked.
We got good sunsets, for sure.
Oh, you at the sunset point. There you go, huh?
Yeah, Ed's has just good
a
sunset point.
Oh, don't you? When we gonna set that up where we can sit out on the back patio there at Ed's and watch the sun, you know, set go down.
It's now, man.
It's already ready. Okay,
it's there. You got seating. It's everything's ready to go, new and improved.
We got some. What kind of special drinks we got to partake of during that time? We need some adult beverages, you know.
Jamie's always coming up with all kinds of new flavored bushwhackers.
Oh, new flavored bushwhackers!
She's a nutty professor.
Oh, she's the nutty professor.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's good, Dad. I'll have to come over one evening.
It's like you come to Edge. You can eat breakfast on Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 11. Then you can get lunch. And then have a great weekend, and then you can come to Mobtown proper on Monday and get your hair cut.
There you go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see that thing is kicking much strong over there, man.
Yeah, man. We've been getting a lot of everybody's coming in. We got people wanting haircuts. It's not barbering. It's not cosmetology. It's cutting hair and making friends and ladies, kids.
Right.
Men. You know, we're having a great time. Melissa is awesome, man. She's just got the great personality, and she's just, you know, student of the game as far as cutting hair, and she's doing a great job with all of it.
Well, she's a very thorough cosmetologist and does an awesome job with men's hair.
We're looking to, so we can hire a barber. So, we'd love to have a mixture of a cosmetologist and a barber all in one. And, they're both learning from each other and being passionate about, hip, new, cool look. And then it's more than just a haircut, man. If you watch all the movies about barbershops, it's a place of gathering. It's like a restaurant.
Right.
You're in there. It's a rite of ritual, and you come out feeling even better because you just got your ears lowered.
Hey, man, I like those hot towels.
Right?
Barbershops don't have that anymore. You don't get those hot towels around your neck and
hot
on your face.
And she gives you a little face massage and neck massage and gives you a great haircut and gives you a little bit of that tea tree and your hair. You smell that euphoric like you're just got out of a shower.
I know, man. Had my hair all messed up over there.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, I thought you fell asleep in the chair.
I did, but somebody went over and kicked the jukebox, and that big cross in the jukebox over there got to whipping out all those songs, man.
We got the jukebox. We got coffee. We got water. I got some. I'm gonna get some other cool stuff there. We'll have. Every so often, we'll have a gumbo party, and we'll bring in, do some sampling of food, and then we may even have a throwdown on, kind of stylists and whatnot, and bring in some barbers and guys, across the bay.
Let's have a contest.
Work with us.
Yeah.
What's that?
Let's have a contest.
Yeah. Well, we're this week, Fire Station Number 8, around the corner from Ann Street.
Right.
We've asked those first responders if they want to come get a cut from us.
There you go.
Take care of the whole group. So for the next couple months, we're going to pick people who help serve.
There you go.
We're going to serve them.
Right.
And it could be military, it could be police, it could be fire, it could be school teachers, it could be whomever. We're going to pick kind of what we in the restaurant business, lunch for lunch. But I'm going to pick a business to lower their ears.
There you go. Yep. Yep. Let them turn in their dog tags. Well, now's an awesome time to do that because most all these places are still closed.
Yeah, well, it sounds like our kids are going to be going back to school too.
Right.
Everybody needs a fresh cut.
There you go. They need to get it done. All right, big guy.
Man, appreciate you having me.
All right.
And y'all have a great night.
Let me know when you have that styling deal over there and the wine tasting with the beignets or something. Maybe it's a little cheese snacks or something. Little appetizers.
Yeah, I'm thinking some craft beer and some gumbo.
Woo! Hey, now that'll work too. Now, by the way, you guys have got the
crowd. Mr. Sertle, give us some beer.
There you go. You've got some draft beer all over the edge now, don't you?
We do. Dixie beer. Up on tap and some local beers there. And
oh, hell, they'll probably have to change that name.
The Oyster Bar is probably going to be – the glass is coming in. So I'm looking by the end of the week to have all that going, and then we'll start that real Oyster Bar where you can learn about oysters from different superstars like Bill Walton, the forefather of local-grown oysters, and just the story about the different – species that we offer.
Well, I need a seat to run over there by the wall so I can watch all of that and head up on a few oysters. I can partake of a few.
Yeah, but you won't see. You'll need another seat. Your son came by today.
Yeah,
your grandson.
Grandson. Yeah, I see you sent me a picture of him.
Yeah, good man. Good man.
Yep, he had to come by and get some of that good Ed's food, man. He couldn't come to town and not get that.
He said it was a ritual.
It is.
He needed some slaw in his life.
A little slaw in his life.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, Dick. Have a blessed one, buddy.
All right, man.
Appreciate what you guys do for our veterans,
yes,
first
sir.
Responders. Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice to hear you know, a business like that that is looking out for our first responders,
right?
Especially with the stuff that was in the news last week about first responders not being waited on when they went to a certain restaurant.
Yeah, that kind of frosted me to an area that I don't need to talk about on the radio.
You notice that has kind of gone away.
Ooh, that died away right quick. You know,
but I wish it wouldn't have. I mean, I want to know where there's people getting fired for their voicing their opinions. I'd like to know what they did with those employees.
They're gone. Like I said, they're fired.
Yeah.
You know, they can't tolerate that, man.
Well,
you know,
first off, you're paying someone to do a service.
Right.
I don't care who that service is for. Yeah. You know, if someone walks in and they want my product, I'm paying you to sell them that product.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, you know,
if you refuse to sell
my product to that person, what do I need you here for?
Right. Yeah, I don't need you. You refuse to sell my product.
Right. Right. And
I don't need the attitude to go along with it either.
Well, and you can do irreparable damage to my establishment.
You're damn right.
So,
well, how many people have boycotted that restaurant, you know, or said, oh, hell no, I'm not going over there if they're going to treat our policemen that way.
I won't be there.
No.
I won't be there. But, just another reason not to go there.
There you go. Yeah.
But,
we can't do that. Look, I heard this lady talking about, I know this is not about cars, but she said, well, what are you going to do when they're breaking into your house and the guy's got a gun, and you're calling 911, and they say, well, we'll send out a social worker in the morning and see if we can handle that for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, well, where the police is? Come on.
Yeah.
No. They cut our police force in half, so now we send out social.
that's when you ask them, well, did y'all defund the coroner's department?
Yeah, corners. Yeah,
I'm going to give them some work.
There you go. Yeah,
yeah. Because you step foot in my house.
Oh yeah.
Mm-mm.
No, yeah. I'm not going to be calling 911.
That's right. I'm going to be the only one dialing. Right. Let's put it that way. Yeah. And that's not going to work.
Well, it's funny, you know, that the concealed weapons permits has increased about 50%, over the last 4 or 5 months.
They said that the requests for permits have gone way up.
Well, you know, you're having trouble finding pistols and all now because they can't make them fast enough.
Right, right. You know, but you got like the couple that defending their own property. Don't know the whole story, but they're on their property and people are threatening to come on their property and murder them and burn their house down and kill their dog, I have no problem with them protecting themselves.
Well, you know, I'm going to, if they're in my house, I'm going to have to do a lot of sheetrock work after it's over with, because that buckshot is in one of those shotguns and that birdshot is in the other is going to scatter stuff all over that house. So on the inside of the house is going to have to be rebuilt. Probably the floor is going to have to be redone. But you know what? It'll still be my damn house, and I will fix that.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see. We have a text message here. I have a 2005 Lexus GX 470 with 200,000 miles. I plan to drive it to 500,000 miles. Should I drain and fill the transmission fluid? Lexus dealership said it's a sealed transmission. I understand it's sealed. I understand it's supposed to be lifetime, and BMW had the same attitude about theirs. I still don't see the problem with, you know, changing it, you know. Now I'm talking about a simple drain and fill. You know, no flushing, no chemicals, no none of that, and use the fluid that Lexus uses in it.
Right.
You'll get it from Lexus. Yeah. I have no problem with doing that.
All right. Let me ask you this now. They said a sealed transmission. Does that mean that you what do you got to do to drain the fluids out of it?
Well, they're not really sealed. You know, they still have a pan. If they don't have a pan, they've got a drain plug on them because they have to be, you know, serviceable in case something goes wrong. And it's just like a lot of ours, the eight speeds and the 10 speeds and the trucks and cars and that.
10 speeds. Oh, my God.
They are.
I had trouble with four.
They didn't have. They don't have a dipstick, so you can't check it with a dipstick. But so technically, it's a sealed transmission. But there's still a way to drain and fill it and service it if you need.
So there's a, but they have some kind of hole or something there, or it's a checking a viewpoint or something to check for the height of the level of the fluid.
Not something that your average consumer could check.
Okay, but you guys can do it.
We can do it.
Okay,
yeah,
all
we
right.
can do it.
But there's a way.
Yeah, I mean, because you know, okay, say you have to work on the drive shaft for some reason, you pull the drive shaft out and some fluid runs out, you got to be able to refill it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, or it springs a leak. You don't throw the transmission away because it's got a little leak. You
okay.
know, you fix it and you move
right.
on.
Or yeah. you pull a CV axle out, you know.
Right. Yeah. Right. You got to be able to fill and set the level. Yeah, so.
Uh-oh, here come my song.
Here come Tom's song.
My
we're going to let you listen to that one. We're going to take a break. We're going to let you listen to this for
a
minute.
Yeah, my song.
You know my start, I'm going to start this morning. You know my motor won't even turn. You know I've been running with a fast class of women. You know they called my little car to run.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we've actually got another... We're talking about inventory and some of the vehicles we're getting in. We've got the new Trailblazer. In over there.
How big is that compared to what?
Well, and the progression starts basically at the Trax, which is kind of a small SUV, very small. The next size up is the Trailblazer. Then it goes to the Equinox.
Below the Equinox.
Yes, yeah, below the Equinox, and it's then there's the. The Blazer above the Equinox, then the Traverse, and then the Tahoe and the Suburban, which the new Tahoes, we've gotten some of those in now too. Don't think I've seen a new Suburban yet, but they're coming.
What about our motors and size of motors? And you're talking about the Traverse, and we're talking about the other vehicles that are not Suburban, but Trailblazers, what have you.
Well, you know, of course, the Suburban and Tahoes, you can have basically anything from the 5.3, the 6.2, or the inline 3-liter six-cylinder diesel.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Now, that's a GM diesel.
That's well, yeah, it's a GM
One
diesel.
One GM General Motors it's putting in their vehicle.
Yes, they're little Duramax.
Okay.
It's a pretty neat motor. We got several of them out on the road, been out on the road for about a
year
now.
They're good motors. Are they turboed too?
They're all turboed. They make the same, close to the same torque that the 6.2 does.
Oh, my Lord.
And it's, but it's a much more, I don't know, it's a smoother pull, basically.
Yeah, with the turbo, it would be.
Yeah, with that diesel and the turbo and all and the 10-speed transmission behind it, it just
– Oh, my God. That's got such 10-speed
in it? Yeah, it's such a smooth. It keeps it – and the real trick with diesels and people don't understand, and you probably remember it from back in your days when they had the 13 speeds and all this kind of stuff, transmissions.
Yeah.
It was all about keeping that motor at the peak torque.
Right, okay? Right. Yeah.
And
the proper RPMs.
Yeah, the proper RPM to keep the torque there.
Yeah, because you had a torque spec in there.
Yeah, so if you got your, you know, where the torque number for the 6.2, its peak torque is somewhere around 4,000, 4,500.
Yeah, gas burning more RPM.
You know, the peak torque on that six-cylinder is somewhere in the 2,000 range.
Yeah, 1,800, you know, 2,000 probably.
1,800, yeah, range. So,
but then but by having the turbo, then it helps with that.
Right.
So you if you got you could have a 250 horsepower motor, but with that turbo, well, you're gonna kick it up to 350 or so.
Yeah, yeah. It's 3-something. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it makes
that'd be an awesome ride though. How many 13 speeds?
It's 10 speed.
10 speed on 10 that. Speed on okay, that. The other vehicle you were talking about. 13.
Yeah, but those are
had to get programmed here.
Yeah. just the pull and the ones I've driven. It's so smooth on the way it shifts. And
well, they'll pull a camper trailer, a boat, and all that stuff.
Yep. One of our guys actually uses his to pull a trailer with a little tractor on it.
And, oh, yeah. Okay.
It's a fairly heavy setup.
Bush hog or running load or something.
His last truck was a 1500 Z71 with a 5.3 in it. Pulled it fine, but the big difference he's noticed is where before, when he'd go up and down these hills, when he starts getting a little further north in Alabama towards hunting camp, he'd start losing speed.
Right.
Well, he doesn't do that. It's on the cruise and it sits there, and it doesn't lose its speed going uphill. You know, it just keeps on trucking. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're talking about that. I was talking to a guy today, and you know him. They've got some trucks now, but they've got some diesel motors in these 18 wheelers, and they've got automatic transmission, and cruise control is set on like 70, period.
Yeah.
Now, the truck, if you took that off, would probably run 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But with that automatic transmission, you can run flat land 70 mile an hour. You run uphill 70 mile an hour. You run downhill 70 mile an hour.
Yeah.
You run 70 mile an hour, you know, the speed limit.
Right.
And he said, after shifting that old other truck, you know, with all those gears and all that, and going from trying to find all the gears, you know. And I can remember back in the old days, you know, having to split the gears after, you know, you had to overdrive and you'd go 10 speed, then you had to overdrive on each one of those.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's where the guys that have been doing it forever, you know, they'll come in after, you know, of course they protest because I ain't going to drive no automatic truck. You know?
Oh, yeah.
They come in after they've been driving it for a while and ask them what they think about it. It's like, you know what? You know something I found out? Is I can actually drive this truck and drink a cup of coffee at the same time. So, you know,
yeah.
You know, I got a
free hand.
Yeah, I got a free hand now. So, you know, I'm not constantly reaching over there and changing gears and that.
Oh, man, you know, I go back to the old days with them Mack trucks when they had them twin sticks and you had to put one arm through the steering wheel to reach and grab a stick and then the other arm on the other side. And you had to move those levers, you know.
And you better not get them both in neutral at the same time.
Right.
Because might as well pull over, get it back in gear, and then go again.
I was coming across the causeway one day with one of them old H-model Macs, one of them twin sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting to back then it had the old bridge over there by the battleship. And it's narrow, and I was meeting traffic on there, and I said, I don't care what gear it's in, I'm not changing gears until I get off of this truck.
Because
you didn't have about 6 inches on each side, man, with that 13.6 trailer. You know, I'm going like, oh, my God.
And most of those things already had 1 million miles on them, and the shifters were so wore out, you know.
One I was in probably had 2 million. It had already been retired in about 3 fleets.
You had to be a magician to figure out where it was at.
Oh, I know, man. You had to feel around with that gear shift, you know, just to get it in the right hole.
Yeah. But, they're way better. And you know, the automatics, the neat thing about the big trucks now with automatics is, you know, that motor makes ungodly torque. But, you know, they let it have its peak torque or its max torque when you have the cruise control set.
Okay.
You know, they don't give you all the power that motor will put out unless you have the cruise control set. That way you don't have to go shifting it, and that's encouraging you to leave it in cruise and maintain your speed, and you get your peak torque, peak fuel economy, everything all at
you
one
You know what
time.
That tells me is the longevity of that vehicle is going to be so much greater than what we are accustomed to with the manual transmissions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and honestly, that transmission is a standard shift with a automatic shifter basically bolted on top of it. You know, it's a standard shift with a automatic assembly that's doing all the shifting for you.
Wonder where they got that from and what race car division did they get that from?
Yeah. You know? You know, and that's really not all that new technology. You know, that's heck, I worked on a 1950 model Packard that basically did the same thing.
Ooh.
You know, it took care of the clutch for you, everything.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
You know, it was standard shift, but it was all, you know, automatically controlled. But, you know, it's a lot of times they just got to look back and draw from some of history and say, hey, you know what, they had a pretty decent idea here.
Right. Let's refine it and move on.
Yeah. So, Philip, about how much time we got left? Okay. So we're running
about
up
that,
to
about that
running,
little.
About that little?
About okay. that little.
I thought we were getting
30
close.
Seconds, yeah.
I thought we were getting close here. Yeah. But I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. I enjoyed doing the show with Tom every Monday night. Hope everybody enjoys the show listening in. But, you know, watch out for our first responders and the people that take care of us and watch out for us. They're having a tough time right now.
They are. So, you know, just remember what they're exposing themselves to, and then they're having to stay away from their families on a lot of occasions because they can't go home because they would expose their families to it. So,
yep.
You know, keep them in your prayers. And for all of our veterans and first responders out there, we'd like to give them a big old hurrah.
He said, I had one just like her son in 1963. Hell, a man down at the bank took her from me. Oh, she was.